this was kind of one of those times that it was kind of, hey, I'm not going to be there. Would you take it? So I found out at 3:30 that it was going to be me tonight. So I don't know whether I'm going to teach, I'm going to preach. I don't know if it's going to be 5 minutes. I don't know if it's going to be an hour. But what I have is I'm going to teach. Like Brother James Finn, Dr. Finn says, he says, I got the unction to function, and that's what I'm feeling. I'm feeling the unction to function. I'm going to go a little bit different direction tonight than what I was planning on. So if you got your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 16. And I'm going to start in verse 16. I'll give you a little time to get there. We're going to be in that passage, and then we're going to be in Ezekiel chapter 37. If you found your way there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned to the Spirit and said, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And as he came that very hour, but when the masters saw that their hope of their prophet was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them to the marketplace and to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly troubled our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful to us. Being Romans, we receive or observe. Then the multitude arose together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods, and they laid many stripes on them, and they threw them into prison, and commanding the jailer to keep them securely, having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet and their stocks. So in this passage of Scripture, we see Paul and Silas preaching on a missionary journey, and they go to a city preaching the gospel, and how many know the Holy Spirit goes with you? And so as they're teaching and preaching, they have this girl. And, you know, we all know this passage of Scripture because it's at the midnight hour where they were praising the Lord that a miracle happened. But I don't want to so much focus on that as I want to focus on the first part of that passage. You see, we can all feel in America, and we can feel, you know, even times in our lives where we feel kind of oppression come on us. And in this passage of Scripture, it's one of the only passages that it actually names the spirit that the girl had. And it said a spirit of divination. Well, in the Greek, that word right there means python. So this girl had a spirit that would squeeze, that would torment, that would bring pressure, that would try to destroy, that would try to squeeze the life out of somebody. And I don't know about you, but I don't care for snakes. I don't care for snakes at all. Now, I like to keep the black snakes alive because they kill the poisonous snakes. And growing up on a farm, I know that. You keep those around, otherwise you get the poisonous ones. But the thing about a python snake is, you know, it doesn't have any poison. You know, a lot of times when we think of snakes, we think of venom. You know, some snakes around here, that we got copperheads, we got rattlesnakes, we got cottonmouths, and those all have venom. And we don't really focus on pythons and, you know, anacondas and the constrictors, because it's not what we're used to. It's not our custom. We don't think of it. But a python will be up in a tree, and it hunts. And when someone unsuspecting, a deer or something, walks under it, it'll kind of fall on them, and it'll just squeeze them, and it'll start restricting them. And it has one purpose, to squeeze the breath out of the animal. You see, what the enemy will want to do to you is it'll try to restrict you. It'll try to squeeze and confine you where, you know, even when you're in church, you just feel like you can't lift your arms up. You just don't have the ability to praise him like you want to, because you don't feel it, and you feel that pressure, you feel that restriction. And every breath that you give, it's like a little bit kind of gets squeezed out of you, and you don't know if you can actually breathe anymore. And you feel this pressure. It feels like there's an elephant on your chest. That's the enemy. And it tries to squeeze the life, which is the Holy Spirit, out of your life. A lot of churches are facing this, and I'm thankful for our church that we have a Spirit-led church, that we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and it gives us the ability to breathe. But a lot of churches in America have been constricted. They don't feel that ability to process and to breathe. You know, one thing about this passage of Scripture, it says when they were on their way to pray. It leads off, well, when they were on their way to pray, here a spirit shows up. And it starts troubling them. It tries to keep you from praying. You know, there's always going to be times where you face the distractions of life. The distractions of, I can just talk for myself. I get too busy. I wake up late, and I'm just trying to get ready to make it to work on time, and I miss that dedicated time of prayer. Or I'm working, and I just don't think about it, and I work, and then I get home, and I start doing this, and I start doing that, and I don't pray, and I don't feel like it. I don't feel like I can get down on my knees. I just don't have that ability. That's the enemy. The first thing he'll try to do is he'll try to squeeze the prayer out of you, where you don't feel like you have the ability or the time or the need. Or reading your Bible. You don't have time for reading the Word, which is life. The Word came and dwelt amongst us. Jesus. So the enemy has its trickeries and its ways of trying to get you and squeeze you where you don't feel like you can breathe. You know, whenever we pray, whenever we read, it's like the breath coming into us. It's God breathing into us. And when we pray, it's the breath leaving us. But the enemy will try to get us, and he'll try to just bound us up and get us where we can't just function as believers anymore. The most important thing in your life is breath. It's how we live. When we're born, the first thing that the doctor tries to get us to do is breathe. It's essential to your life. You don't think about the next breath, you just take it. But when you're 12 feet down underwater and you're fighting to get a breath, you know you need that breath. And you're fighting to get it. And our spiritual man is fighting to get that breath that we need to survive. But it feels like we just can't. Our physical being gets in the way of our spiritual. And we find ourselves trapped, wrapped up with a pressure, with unable to move and function. And all of a sudden, we start turning into something that we don't want to. Dry, dead, unable to live, unable to function as we should, unable to get that breath that we need. And the enemy uses many ways to try to trick us and trap us and deceive us. He's cunning. A lot of times it's our own imagination that gets in our way. We lose our focus. We lose our ability to process. And we start seeing everything that's wrong and stop seeing what we should be turning to. And we find in the passage of Ezekiel 37, we find Ezekiel in this very place. Israel has turned away. In rabbinic history, it says that the priests stopped preaching. They stopped worshiping. And if you study the Old Testament and study Israel, you'll see these times of the kings and these times of the prophets. And you'll see the ups and downs. They call it the mountains and valleys. And you'll see where Israel is on fire for God and they're worshiping God. But you'll also see the times where they're not, and they're restricted, and they're losing sight, and they're losing hope, and they start turning to what the flesh wants and what the flesh desires, and soon they're wrapped up and trapped in bondage. That's what Ezekiel is praying about in this passage. They're about to go into bondage. And the Lord brings Ezekiel to a place. And in chapter 37 of Ezekiel, it says, "The hand of the Lord come upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley." A lot of times we'll be in the midst of our problem where we find the Holy Spirit. He was there the whole time. We just couldn't see. He was with us in every trial and every situation. But our eyes were blinded and our hope was lost. And we find ourselves in the valley, and it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones." All we see is destruction. All we see is the giants that's facing us. All we see is the torment. America's in a very vulnerable place right now. It's in a very volatile place. At work, we work in a utility, and we had to make a commercial warning people that this winter might be a little bumpy, that you might want to start practicing energy conservation now, because whenever we get in the midst of winter, the prices are going to go through the roof. And I'd like to encourage you, a little side break from the sermon, to do that. You need to make energy conservation choices. You need to get food set aside. Because this winter, the problem that we're facing in the utility industry, in the energy department, is we have a high demand with a little supply. And so with a high demand and little supply, costs go through the roof. And natural gas is not being produced or able to be produced to meet the need of the demand. And so, the prices are going to go through the roof. And you might say, this doesn't affect me, but a lot of your power plants run on natural gas. So it does affect you. And so, America is in a very vulnerable place. And this isn't a fear tactic. This is, hey, we need to make preparation. We need to get ready. And so what's probably going to happen is we're going to get into the dead of winter, and we're going to be looking at these dry bones. This sermon that we preached November 6th is going to be setting us into a place where we need Jesus. And we have to know what to do whenever we get in that dry place of dry bones. We got to know where our help comes from. Otherwise, we'll be confined and restricted and unable to function. And it was full of bones, and then he caused me to pass all around them, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And so I answered, "O Lord God, you know. Only you know." And again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter you. And you shall live, and I will put sinews and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and then you shall know that I am the Lord. You see, one very important thing that we need to understand is, you know, we can have structure, we can have bones, we can have flesh, but if we don't have breath, we're not alive. And it's the very thing the enemy tries to go after in your life. He tries to take the breath out of you. While we were on our way to pray, there the enemy is, trying to close in, get you, trap you, confine you, squeeze you. But Jesus gives his word so that in these times of trouble we can understand that he is life. His word is life. You see, the only thing the enemy has is deception. The only thing he has is trickery. My Bible says that he was defeated. Isn't that something? That he was already defeated. So the only thing he has now is deception. The only thing he has now is trickery. He has no power. Jesus took death, hell, and the grave. So what does this mean to me? The Holy Spirit's my security. He's my security. In an insecure world, the very thing we need is to be secure. You see, the church is in a prime place. You know, the Bible's calling, you know, we see prophecy all the time about an end-time revival. And this has been the cry of my heart, and I've talked to Natalie, and we've talked this over, and trying to understand how. How's the church? I remember revivals back whenever I was young. I remember the Brownsville revival, and I remember the mighty hand of the Holy Spirit just wiping over a whole congregation and miracles happening and people who've never experienced the Holy Spirit being baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I can remember being in youth camp with 200 some kids and the Holy Spirit just like a wave going across, and everyone, we were kids, we don't understand. But the Lord knew, and just like a wave, you could just hear it coming, and you could hear the cries of the other little kids, and all of a sudden they'd start speaking in tongues, and it was just like a roar that kept getting louder until it hits you. The unexplainable happening, and the Holy Spirit moving. And I can remember all that, and then I get in this place, and I'm like, with this world and this place that we're in, how are we going to have revival? When the world gets darker, that's when the light gets brighter. You see, the church is in a pivotal place where we can be a light to the world, where we can be a city set on a hill, where we can be a demonstration of God on earth, Him working through us through the Holy Spirit. And we have this unique ability to sacrifice our lives to Him, to sacrifice our will and say, not our will, but your will, Lord. Where you say to go, I'll go. What you say to do, I'll do. And it's in this place of serving that we find we have plenty of breath. The very act of submission to the Lord is life. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Word says. We don't get to make it up. It's what it says. And so, facing a dark world, how can we be a light? You know, I can remember 9/11 whenever the towers were struck. The churches were full. The next service. Isn't that something? when problems arise, people turn to the church. God places us in a valley. God places us in situations that all we see is dryness and death, and we can have the outlook of saying, you know what, it's not my problem. I'm going home. Or we can have this ability to speak life, to prophesy life. And Jesus gives us his Holy Spirit, his breath, that we operate with. God is holy and must be approached in humility and awe. He opens his glory to include all who comes to him in worship and praise, and releases his Spirit to those who surrender their lives to Jesus. The surrender. The coming before him in awe with humility. This morning the Lord placed it on my heart, who can come to the hill of the Almighty? He that has clean hands and a pure heart. The very submitting to the will of the Lord is the Holy Spirit starts working in our lives. And all of a sudden we have breath and we can breathe and we can speak and we have truth. But it takes understanding. It takes action. It takes us releasing what we want only to have what he has. He is the unseen wind that brings life into dry bones and purpose into meaningless lives. The wind of the Holy Spirit is driven by a receptive vessel, number one, if you're taking notes. A receptive vessel. You have to say, Lord, use me. Just like Paul and Silas on this missionary journey. Use me, Lord. Let me be your hands and feet on this earth. Let me be the mission. Let me be the commission. Let me operate with your vision to see what needs to be done. A receptive vessel. A emptied vessel. None of us. None of us. Humility. Willingness to give our will for his will. We each have our stories in our mind of what we want. Raise your hand if that's true. We each know what we want. I know there's times that I want a shake from Andy's. A Straw Anna sometimes. Or there's sometimes I like a big cheeseburger. And I'm so thankful for Whataburger, who's going to be in Ozark. Because I know what I want. My flesh starts desiring things. And I tell Natalie all the time whenever there's problems that arise and people who turn away, people who destroy, you know, we'll be like, I just don't know why. But people always get what they want. What you want, you'll get. What you desire, you'll have. If you want sin, you'll achieve it. If you want the Lord, you'll achieve it. You'll always get what you want. So, the wind of the Holy Spirit is driven by an emptied vessel. Number three, a vessel desperate for the authentic. I've been able to experience those powerful services, those revival services, and I want nothing less than that. I don't want man-made. I don't want thrills and a performance. I don't want performance. A performance, you'll come in, you'll be entertained, and then the moment you walk out that door, it's gone. an authentic move of the Lord, you walk out that door and you're still filled. I can remember stories of people going down the street after while we were in revival. We were in a revival for, I think, almost a whole year. And they'd just be worshiping God. And miracles happening every day. The authentic move of the Lord is something that I can't even put into words. I can't even explain. Just like youth camp and those little kids. There was no teaching. There was no instruction. It happened just as the Lord wanted it. A selfless vessel. A selfless vessel. Lord, make me, create me into who you want me to be. A selfless vessel. God, if you want me to be, have a spout right here where you pour me out, if you want me to have a bunch of holes where you constantly pour stuff in and things constantly pour out, it's whatever you want me to be. That needs to be the prayer of each and every one of us. God, it doesn't matter how, it doesn't matter why. All I know is I want to be used by you. I want to be ready in season and out of season for your perfect word, for your perfect work, so that I may come before you. Colossians 3:23, it says, we do all things unto the Lord. All things unto him. The work unto him. It's not for man. It's for him. A selfless vessel. The wind of the Holy Spirit is driven by a sail and not a rudder. Think about that one. The wind of the Holy Spirit is driven by a sail and not a rudder. A rudder is something that man tries to control the current. But a sail is just a big piece of fabric that goes where the wind blows. I got an uncle that's a sailor, and he taught me a little bit about it. And you use the wind. And if you start fighting the wind, that's when you get in troubled waters. That's whenever your boat goes aloft and you get sideways. But if you keep your sails where the wind can blow, you'll get to where you need to go. If we want to be a church on fire, we have to do it God's way. We have to do it with His will, His mind, His direction, His truth, His word, not ours. His Spirit, His truth that corrects us even when we don't want it. I've been in a season in my life where the Lord's been removing things. Like a sharp knife that I don't need. He just trims away what I don't need. And sometimes it hurts a little bit. You say, ooh, 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 not there. But you don't need it. We got to let the Lord use the word to correct our lives, to correct our understanding, to know that it's for our good. It's for His will and not ours. And we got to focus on the truth, the life, the Holy Spirit that gives us what we need, the breath. It all comes back to the breath. That next breath we take, that next breath that we speak with, and we try to focus our attention to Him and learn that sometimes we might have a little attack from the enemy where we start feeling that oppression. We start feeling that constriction where our song's not as loud as we're normally singing and we're not praying as much as we're normally praying. And we need to identify that this is the enemy. This is the enemy trying to squeeze the breath out of us. And know that the Holy Spirit is right there. And all we have to do is say, Holy Spirit, I need your breath. I need your breath inside of me. I need to be an empty vessel, God. If there's anything in my life, God, I pray that you trim it off. If I've tried to conform this vessel into something that I want, God, I pray that you, like the potter, mold me and make me. God, I want to stay soft before you so that you can form a vessel that's used. God, I don't want my ambition, my will, my understanding to get in the way of your call. God, I don't want to put the rudder in the water trying to control you. But Lord, I want to be someone who breathes your breath, speaks your word, lives in the freedom that you've given me. The enemy's already been defeated. And know that the hope that you have for me is bigger than any problem that I face. And the storms that might get me all up in my feelings, I know that it's you who brings truth. And you can speak peace to any storm. And so I'm just going to keep my sail up, and you'll blow me right out of it. Sometimes when we have the rudder in the water, we'll kind of, unbeknownst to us, steer right for that storm. We'll try to take things into our own hands and end up right in the middle of a hurricane. Whenever the wind was trying to push us away the whole time. Lord, let us be selfless before you. Let us be humble before you. No substitute, nothing sought out. Lord, let us be sold out. Filled up, life driven by the Holy Spirit. Nothing can withhold, prevent, delay, or step ahead of the encounter of the Holy Spirit. The only thing that can get in the way is us. So let us get out of the way. We have the free will to choose you, and that's who we choose. I hope tonight we've come to the understanding and knowing that it's His Holy Spirit. And that we need to be vessels that can be used. And whenever we feel those restrictions and the enemy trying to squeeze the breath out of us, we need to be able to identify that and say, you have no place here. My Bible says you're defeated. So Holy Spirit, give me breath. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that gives us the life we need to be able to succeed in your perfect will and your perfect calling. God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that if we just keep our sail up and our rudders out of the water, will take us where we need to go. So God, if there's anyone facing any strongholds of their life or any storms that they may be facing, God, I hope your Holy Spirit gives them the encouragement they need to trust you, because you'll take us where we need to go. You'll bring peace to the storm, even if it's removing us from it, or it's guiding us to where we need to go. So Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for your word, your truth. God, I thank you that it's a light unto our feet. God, I pray that this word encourages us through this week, knowing that we can come before you and you're faithful to hear us even when we cry. So God, I pray that you use this church for your ministry, your calling, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.